My name is Alan Heron. I'm the founder and president of Grossmark, Maine, which is a statewide nonprofit organization based in Yarmouth, just working on sustainable growth issues. I grew up along the banks of Kennebec and Waterloo, but live now in South Freeport, which this morning was more like South Pole. I hold a master's degree in public policy administration from the Kennedy School at Harvard, and for 5 or 6 years served on the Freeport Planning Board, majority of that as its chairman, and now serve on the board of an organization called Smart Growth America. Grossmark, Maine, as you know, was a sponsor of a much-discussed Brookings Report last year, Charting Maine's Future, an action plan for sustainable prosperity and quality places. We call Grossmark intentionally because we favor growth in Maine, but in a way that's intelligent and with an eye to protecting this special place for future generations. Grossmark advocates what we call sustainable prosperity, a concept that combines economic development, environmental, and community protection with old-fashioned Maine frugality and common sense. It argues that we cannot simply be looking out for the short term, but we have to find ways to grow that build on our traditions rather than tearing them down, where the overall costs and benefits of growth and development are fully understood. This approach mirrors the Commission's, as stated in your comprehensive plan, which says that you have a dual mandate with respect to conservation and development in the jurisdiction, to reconcile the need to protect the natural environment and other important values from uses that cause degradation with the need for traditional resource-based uses and reasonable development. As I've expressed in over 100 presentations around the state, coming for all of us and all of you, is how do we grow without wrecking the place? The Brookings Report says our best hope for future prosperity in the new global economy in which we find ourselves is this special place, the state we all love, Maine. It urges us to zealously protect the character and quality of the state, its communities, and its environment, but also to find a way to do that while accommodating and welcoming growth. Maine has assets right now that are in diminishing supply around the country and are increasing in value. We have a quality of place that is unmatched. Most of that we have by accident, as much as intention, owing to our remote location and colder climate. But now the world is becoming more mobile, and we cannot any longer rely on accidents, on the benefits of remote geography to protect the character of the state. We must learn to do it intentionally. You are at the leading edge of doing that at the moment. Quality of place, as it turns out, is not only our brand, it's our ticket to future prosperity. It's our calling card to the world. This is a new way of thinking about Maine, and it requires new approaches and new ideas that move us beyond the traditional divisions between development and environmental protection, and on to a more fully integrated outlook of sustainable growth. How we truly balance economic growth and protection of this place is the great challenge of our time. Those who would simplify these questions to moral certainty and pictures in black and white do themselves and the state little service. These are not simple questions that should be reduced to political slogans and sound bites. Never has it been more urgently important that we find new ways to answer old questions, new processes to resolve our differences, and new bridges between people from different regions of the state, different economic backgrounds, and from diverse interests. Without such innovations, and without finding greater common ground to move Maine forward, we will inevitably fail in both the economy and the environment. Grossmark has intervened in this proceeding neither for nor against, because while we're encouraged by certain aspects of the plan and the conservation agreement, we have concerns about other aspects which have been well expressed by others. Having to choose between those in favor and those who are opposed forces everyone to generalize their position and to paint over the nuances, to stop listening and talking and start shouting, and to proceed toward vigorous demonizing of those who disagree. That process makes differences into divisions while encouraging oversimplification. Concrete's concept plan proposal is undoubtedly among the largest and most complex that Lurk and State have ever had to grapple with. It's generated strong feelings in many areas, together with significant and productive responses. I think we ought to give credit to three different circles of influence here that I think are convening. The first is groups like NRCM and the Audubon and others. who have rightfully raised concerns from the beginning and have made improvements in this project. Second, of all the groups, TNC and others who worked on this basic conservation package. And finally, the company itself, which has made a series of significant modifications. None of these areas, in our opinion, are perfect. They all require more work. That is your responsibility and your opportunity. But one can easily see these three forces moving towards some convergence. Looking at the 10,000 level, this project offers for Maine an opportunity to engage in landscape-scale planning, which we have never seen in Maine, unlike other parts of the country, which regularly do countywide or landscape planning. It gives us an opportunity to overcome our tendency to want to plan at the local level, at the micro level, which is a great way to keep people close to planning, but a miserable way to affect regional or landscape changes that are outside of local control. This project, despite all its challenges, offers an unprecedented opportunity to implement a new and more regional view of planning with emphasis on smart growth. Given the scale and location of this project, it could very well become a nationally significant example for how to manage growth in remote, forested, or rural areas. Incidentally, I reached out to colleagues of ours in 35 different states looking for the best examples of where this kind of development had been managed. And the overwhelming response was, you may well be hit. Although I have to tell you that the surprise in the response was on the conservation plan. Most of my colleagues feel that they could get this amount of conservation in a project of this size in this state. They would leave that. I'll just convey that. I was actually expecting another answer. At the heart of this proceeding is whether Maine can reap the benefits of the development put forward in the plan while at the same time preserving and protecting the special experiences and qualities offered in the Moosehead region. We tried to weigh the positive and negative economic and environmental benefits of this project as others have, and we factored into that analysis the probability of what kind of development will happen if this landscape plan is not approved. We've tried to apply to the proposal nationally recognized smart growth principles, which have been developed in thousands of applications across the country during the last 10 or 20 years. And by adapting those principles to this particular area of Maine, it goes without saying that Moosehead is a remote and forested area. Some have suggested that smart growth principles therefore have no application in this setting. They couldn't be more wrong. Utilizing land and resources, both natural and physical, wisely and carefully, is not an urban, suburban, or rural issue. It is a general requirement. Of course, the application of those principles is different in Portland or Bangor than it is in Greenville or Machias or Alfred. And so adjustments have to be made. But it cannot be the case that we should grow wisely in already developed areas and indifferently everywhere else. We offer a set of principles by which to assess Plumtree's proposal. They favor compact development that is located near to existing development, mixed-use developments that help reduce automobile dependency, and green and energy-efficient building practices. They disfavor sprawling development that unnecessarily converts forested land to house lots. We are the only party, apparently, also to address the issue of global warming and climate change and recognize this may be the first time this issue has been injected into a case that is fundamentally about land use and development. We raise that issue because large-scale development and global warming can no longer be looked at in two separate and unrelated silos. How and where growth occurs has more to do with greenhouse gas emissions than almost any other strategy related to transportation. Smart growth seeks to reduce auto dependence and will emerge as a critical strategy for meeting emissions standards in the future. While we're here debating a project that will affect this immediate area for generations to come, climate change and global warming will affect the entire northern forest of Maine as well as our overall economy. Indeed, from a historical view, climate change will almost certainly prove to have a far greater effect on the Moosehead region over time than the impact of the development of places like Plum Creek. In conclusion, Grossmont believes that the development vision and Plum Creek proposal could offer Maine a chance to develop in an environmentally responsible way, but if and only if you apply additional conditions on the development. Our staff planner, Bruce Hyman, in the phase ahead, will detail to you what the principles are that we promote, but I would just summarize them by saying that development within the residential subdivision need to be more compact. Most of the overall residential units should be nearer to existing infrastructure. Affordable employee housing should be incorporated into the subdivision, not segregated somewhere else. And development as a resource, resorts should be also more compact, and that all of the development should be to meet LEED standards or other energy efficiency standards. If the plan were amended either by the applicant or by LERC to address the concerns we've outlined, Grossmont Maine would be generally supportive, I expect. Absent such significant changes, we could not recommend the project for approval. I don't envy the responsibility that you have on this project. We have every confidence that you will weigh the various arguments on all sides and arrive at a decision that is best for Moosehead, for the people of that region, and for the state as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. All right. It's 12:05.